I met Kelly Davila in her neighborhood to see how many tobacco retailers we can spot on a 1 mile walk.
We are on the Near East Side of Indianapolis on 10th Street at a dollar store.
Davila co-authored a new report on tobacco retail for the Pola Center at IUPUI. This stretch of 10th Street is what public health experts refer to as a tobacco swamp, a place where there are dense clusters of stores that sell cigarettes. Okay, so let's see how long it takes to walk from the Family Dollar to the next location.
Okay.
Davila times us.
Are we rolling?
Yep.
Okay. Her research found that where there are many stores short walking distances apart, there are a lot of smokers. In fact, 1 in 3 people smoke in what Davila calls a high access area. That's 2 times the national average. Whereas the smoking rate is much lower in Fishers, for example, where there are fewer retailers.
So we can see that there is a link between these two things, between smoking and access to retailers.
Additionally, in these areas, poverty is higher. There are fewer households with a vehicle, more people of color, more moms who smoke.
So we're already at the next one.
We reach a gas station convenience store.
It's been 2 minutes.
And then 6 minutes later.
So this is another one, but this is a bar.
2 minutes.
Oh, there we go. It's another gas station.
Okay, so high tobacco density equates to higher smoking rates. Makes sense. But how did these neighborhoods get this way? To find out, I called Dr. Joseph Lee, an assistant professor of health promotion at East Carolina University.
Hello again.
He studied this nationally and found the same patterns. Low-income neighborhoods have more tobacco retailers than others.
My take is that there are 2 things going on.
One is store density, and the other is the amount of marketing dollars tobacco companies spend to target these neighborhoods. Lee has also researched tobacco marketing.
And we found some really clear and compelling patterns that neighborhoods with fewer resources, less money, had more marketing of tobacco products, and neighborhoods with more African-American residents had more tobacco products.
And he says if you were to read through thousands of publicly available documents from court cases involving tobacco companies, it's evident they profile communities. But the retail store landscape predates those marketing strategies.
So if you think about going back to bank redlining, when it was harder to get loans within neighborhoods with more African-American residents, then there would have been fewer resources in those communities.
That means you end up with a lot of really small family-owned convenience stores that don't have a whole lot of products, but they do have a lot of tobacco marketing.
Got 2 liquor stores and 1 gas station. It's about 2 minutes away from the last place.
So in total, on less than a mile of road, in about 15 minutes, we counted 7 stores.
Hey, what's up?
Who are you guys?
A guy named Phil walks up with his girlfriend, Deborah.
Maybe one day I quit, just cold turkey again. You know, and start back exercising like I used to, get in the gym.
Phil says he buys a pack of Newports at the Speedway or the Marathon whenever he's out.
Sometimes you might get a coupon in the mail.
$2 off.
It depends.
$2 off 2 packs. Or buy one, get one 50% off.
Coupons. That's a tool the tobacco industry uses to keep customers in select communities. In 2014, the industry spent almost 2/3 of its $5 billion marketing budget on discounts like this. In some states, like Rhode Island, local governments have managed to ban these discounts. But Indiana passed a law 20 years ago that restricts localities from regulating tobacco retail sales and marketing. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Emily Foreman.